So yeah, so actually, I know Stephanie got that thing, but I'm glad. Especially even though I may not do it today, but I sometimes get a little excited when I preach, and so I'm sure last week I would have been, the back of my shirt would have been soaked by the time I got done preaching, so sort of glad Stephanie sort of took that one, so. So we're going through this study. Stephanie started this series. Why should you care about biblical leadership? And today I'm going to be talking about how unity plays into that. The idea that good biblical leadership fosters and encourages biblical unity. So why should you care about biblical unity? Why should you care about it? What is it even? Yeah, what is it? First of all, we do see biblical unity. It's a theme in Scripture. Psalm 133 says, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity." Philippians 2:2 says, "Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind." So we see it in Scripture. We also see it, and it's throughout Scripture. I could have pulled out all sorts of Scripture. We see it, and this is something a lot of theologians would go and look at the Trinity and see unity. In John 10:30, it says, "I and the Father are one." We see a unity there among Trinity. And a common thing in describing the Trinity, which can always be a struggle to do, but is that things come from the Father, through the Son, and by the Spirit. But we see it's just a common, we see even in the Trinity that there's unity. The very core of who God is, we see there's unity. And the last thing is it makes sense. Unity makes sense. So, I don't know, we have three different volunteers. So I just want to, you're not doing anything too crazy. You're just going to answer. So one, if you want to stand up. Two. Okay, the two and a third volunteer. All right, Lisa. So go ahead. Yeah, stand up. Okay. I know, I'm getting ready to tackle you. So what's your favorite color?
Red.
How about yours?
Purple.
Hey, I wouldn't guess that. No. Your favorite color? Green. Okay. So if I were to go and just say, hey, let's go paint the church. And I just leave it all up to you guys to go to pick the color you want, and each of you get a different size. What's the church going to look like? So what we, purple, red, yeah, it's going to look a little different. So, I mean, it's just, unity makes sense. It makes sense. Beyond anything else that we could do, unity makes sense. Thank you. Thank you for, you had no idea what you were getting into, and it wasn't that bad, but unity makes sense. But why? Why does biblical unity matter to you in the context of biblical leadership? And that's what we're going to look at today. First, we're going to look to see if you'd like to follow leaders who would be in unity. Is that something you would even like to have leaders who know how to live in biblical unity? Then, I don't do this often without telling. I usually tell people exactly where I'm going with my messages. I'm going to throw a little curveball at the end, almost at the end, just a little curveball to you. So be waiting for it. I'll tell you when it comes up. But then at the end, I want to ask each of you what you can do to help bring unity to the church. So let's just start by looking at Ephesians. Here, we're going through this huge, bigger chunk of scripture in Ephesians 4. Today we're looking at 1 through 6, but I want to start with verse 2. We'll come back to verse 1 at the end, but I want to start off with verse 2. And if we just look here, always be humble. Always be humble. So, just that word in the Greek, it often, oftentimes we have translations, which I think the translations do fine. But sometimes we can learn a little more. But that word there would actually mean, it's referring to like an inside out. This is from one of the people's definitions. But an inside out virtue produced by comparing ourselves to the Lord rather than to others. So a humility that comes by our contrasting us with God. And I'm not going to get into this a whole lot, but I could lay this out very well. It could easily be a whole message. But in the context of Ephesians, this makes great sense. Ephesians talks a lot about who God is and who we are. That's two major themes in Ephesians. But it brings me to what I have, my favorite definition of humility. It just really, Ephesians lays it out. But it's that true humility is knowing who you are in Christ. So often we have a false humility, saying, I'm no good, I'm nothing, I'm whatever else. But it's clearly laid out in Ephesians, and we're going to even talk about some of this. Next week, I think it's going to be being talked about. Right? That's you, Kelly, right? Next week, yeah. Is the fact that we are really nothing without Christ, without God in our lives, working in our lives. But through what He does in our lives, we can do great things. And that's where true humility comes, is when we know that thing. And when we know who we are. So I want to ask you, do you want humble leaders who know who God has made them to be? Is that something you want? Yeah, I agree. I want. Yeah, there were at least three heads that nodded. Yeah. So, you know, one was your daughter, so I don't know if that. I want to be working with other leaders that are humble. It just doesn't work out too well. We have people who are just self-seeking and wanting to go after those motives. But second thing here is gentle. You see, always be humble and gentle. So again, I'm not going to overwhelm you with word studies, so we're keeping it simple. But here, I just want to look at two other places where this same word, same exact word, is used in Scripture. And I think it helps give us a picture of what they mean by gentle. 1 Corinthians 4:21 says, "Which do you choose? Should I come with a rod to punish you, or should I come with love and a gentle spirit?" That's honestly, that's the type of leader I would like to have. Galatians 6:1 says, "Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path." Biblical leadership should be gentle. Do you want to have gentle leaders who are going to carefully guide you in the right direction? Yes, rather than I do. I think every one of us would want to. I don't know too many people who are into being disciplined with a rod. I think they'd rather have a gentle spirit. If we move on through this passage, we come to be patient. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Again, I think we get a little thing here if we look at the word for patience. Another place where that's used gives us a little insight into what that word patience is meaning. In James 5:10 through 11, it says, "For examples of patience in suffering, dear brothers and sisters, look at the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We give great honor to those who endure under suffering. For instance, you know that Job, a great man of endurance, you can see how the Lord was kind to him at the end, for the Lord is full of tenderness and mercy." But patience often means there's a little suffering. And I'll explain to you how, because if we go on, I think the NLT that I used, I just want to stick with the same verse, is the only one that uses making allowance. But most of the others say to bearing with you. And And looking at what that word means, it means sticking through to the end. So if you stick through, if someone's going through something and you stick through it, stick with them to the end, there could be, I just want to let you know, there could be a little suffering on your part. But so we need to be patient. And that patience means that we're going to be so patient that we stick through to the end. We stick through to the end, and there might be some suffering. So, do you want patient leaders who will stick with you to the end, even if it means suffering? Yes. Good, we're fine. Yes. I think we do. So move on again. We'll go to the Ephesians 4:3. So make every... Or did I jump ahead? Oh, no, I didn't. Okay. So make every effort to keep yourselves united in spirit, bringing yourselves together with peace. So just looking here is this word, every effort. Actually means, it means to be quick and make haste, to give diligence to. So this word, it's not just about effort, but it's about quick effort to do everything you can to make things happen quickly. So if we make everything, if we do everything we can, if we're quick with every effort to keep ourselves united in the Spirit through the bond of peace. Tell you, when if you guys are going through something, do you want leaders who are going to be quick and make every effort to be with you, united in the bond of peace? Or do you want leaders who will make every effort to quickly bring unity into complicated situations? Do you want leaders who will make every effort to quickly bring unity into complicated situations? I would say yes. In fact, that's probably one of the most demanded things of leaders, of a typical pastor in the church, is people are hoping that they'll quickly bring unity into the complicated things of their life. So I think that's what we want from our leaders. Now we're going to look, we're just jumping this one here. There's a lot here in Ephesians 4 through 6. So if we get the next slide there. And we're not going to go in depth into this one, but still, I do want to point out a couple of things. Is if you can notice the highlights, you notice there's a theme going on here. We have the bolds. 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. For there is one body and one spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. So I think we see one, and one is often related to unity, just that we are one body with one spirit. Leaders, I think we want to be have one church that has one spirit that's promoted from leaders. But I want to look here at a few things, because some of these things may be like, okay, what does it mean? So if we jump ahead to, so there is one Lord. So that's basically, we have one God, right? One Almighty God. We don't have several. We don't have several. We have one. We have one faith. There's only one way to access God. That's through faith in the sacrifice that Jesus gave for us on the cross. We have one faith. There is no other type of faith that leads us to God. We have one baptism. There's one, and baptism is often considered a rite of passage, sort of almost an initiation, in a sense, into the church. So we have one rite of passage. There are not multiple levels of initiation into the church. There's one. You're a member of the church. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now, what I want to go out with this whole thing here, point out, is really this has to do with doctrine, our core beliefs. this whole section here. I want to ask you, do you want leaders who are united in their core beliefs? Do you think that's going to make a difference? Yeah, and we see some very core beliefs here. And I think that we want to see leaders who are united in their core beliefs. So, we've looked at this, we've gone through the whole thing. We looked at, and I think most of you, there's been a lot of nods, a few yeses, but I think we'd all say that we want a unified leadership in the within the church, right? Yeah, maybe a few more. How many, here, let me do this. How many of you would say, I want unified, unity with among the leadership in the church? All right, so now I want to throw the twist at you. So let's look at the question, who is a biblical leader? Who is a biblical leader in the church? So I've talked about how we want our leaders to have all these qualities, but let's go back to verse 1. And did I end up throwing verse 1 in there? Yeah, oh yeah, I did. Yeah, 4:1. Yeah. So who is called? It says, this is where it started off at, this passage of Scripture. Therefore, a prisoner for serving the Lord, I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called. You have been called. Just like the song got switched to we. Well, this is a plural. Second person plural, it's referring to you. And this is in a letter to Ephesians. So maybe you go, oh, well, maybe it's talking to you. Maybe he was writing to the leaders. But no, if we go to Ephesians 1:1, it tells us exactly who he was talking to. I am writing to God's holy people who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. Who are the leaders? Who's the leaders? All of you. All of you are the leaders. All of you need to be bringing biblical unity in leadership to the church. All of you do. So, there again, that's my twist here. Is it's not just about Kelly, me, Stephanie, Evan, Matthew, whoever else you would put in that level. It's about all of us bringing biblical unity through leadership into the church. And it might all happen on different levels, and that's going to be talked about more here in the next few weeks, but we're all responsible for that. So let's go back to that list. Let me ask you, right now, would you say, are you humble? Are you aware of where you stand in comparison with God and where your gifts lie? If you say, well, I don't know if I'm sure. Again, we'll be talking a little more about where that lies, where that comes in. But are you aware of where you stand in comparison to God and how much you need Him to empower every part of your life? Every part. Are you gentle? So are you helping people with gentleness or with a firm hand? I think that goes even beyond church. We go to family and work and everywhere. Are we helping people with gentleness and a firm hand? Are you patient? Are you patient enough to see it through to the end with others? Often, and I'll say this even for myself, often I can be patient on Sunday morning. I might even be able to be patient for a 5-minute phone call later in the week. But sometimes, being patient in a way that sees it through to the end, that can be tough. But are you willing to do that? Are you doing it? Are you willing to do it? Are you promoting unity? Are you quick to bring unity through peace? When there's a disunity, are you one who tries to jump in and bring peace? Or do you ignore it? Or do you jump in? I mean, one of the biggest things in churches, traditionally, it's church is always known for gossip. Are you quick to jump in and bring unity through peace when there's gossip? Or are you going to jump in and go, oh, really? Did she really say that? Did he really do that to that person? Or are you going to bring peace and just ask a simple question? Well, did you hear that from them? did they give you permission to share that with me? There's all types of little questions. Are we going to be quick? Getting the word here, quick. Because gossip spreads like wildfire, I'll tell you. So I started a new job, and it was interesting. And this is to my favor. But I'm a new guy. They've gone through a lot of new people. The guy who's my boss had never made eye contact with me and only answered questions I spoke to him. Never said hello, good morning, or anything. Other people, no one asked who I was. I end up working with a guy who knows everybody. He's like the, and people even warn me, don't, you know, be careful what you say to him because he'll spread it. You know, everyone will know. Well, I worked with him and he liked working with me. The next day, I show up to work. The boss makes eye contact with me, says, good morning, Tony. And guess what? Every time since then, he's acknowledged me. Since then, every person at work has come up to me and said hi to me and wanted to get to know me and get to know about who I am. Now, that's a good thing. That was a good thing about how quick things can spread. But, I mean, it was a matter of, we're talking 12 hours. I went from being the person no one talked to the literally I had three people talking to me before I could even get in the front door to clock in. Are you going to be quick to bring unity through peace? And are you willing, and this one can be tougher because a lot of times our beliefs are pretty strong, but are you willing to be united in your beliefs? Again, there's a lot of things, there's a lot of times, you know, we might not be, but I think the bigger question is are you willing to press in and go, you know, I'm hearing this, I believe this, let me at least check it out. Let me at least look into it. Yeah, you know, a lot of times we get so stuck on something that we believe in that, and we just never look at it and we never take a second look at it again, our whole Christian walk. And so then yeah, it's interesting. I still hold to a lot of the stuff, but I came from a Pentecostal church. I got saved in that setting, and I said for years and years I would never become part of a church that didn't believe, at least it wasn't at least charismatic, didn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. You know, and I still hold that as a belief, but you know, I realize now in my maturity, I was a little immature in that, is that there's so much more to the Bible than just that. I can be united with other people, even if we have some different beliefs. And a lot of those we might need to look in. So are you willing to be united with your brothers and sisters in basic doctrine? Are you willing to do that? Or at least live in unity, even if you decide that something, you know, something's a little different. But, you know, it's not essential. A lot of things are not essential. So, I just want to ask you, what can you do? Anything, you have any ideas what you could do to bring biblical unity? Any ideas? Don't gossip. What are some other things you maybe take away from this?
Serve others.
Pray for each other. Yeah. Yeah. Did she steal your thing? Yeah. They were unified. Yes. Yeah. Someone else. There's a bunch more. I could come up with a whole list. Someone else have something. How can you help? Love those who have wronged you. Yeah. Quick to forgive. Yeah. Yeah. There's a long list of things we could do, a long list of things we could do to bring unity in. But I want to take some time here, or just not even much time. In fact, we're coming really at the end. I'm going to have you close your eyes, and I'm going to have you raise your hand. It's not because then I'm going to After everyone closes their eyes and raises their hand, I'm going to ask you to come up to the altar or anything, so you don't have to be afraid to raise your hand. But I want you to be closing your eyes, because I know me, I can get distracted by things. It's much easier for... Do most of you find it easier to concentrate on something if you close your eyes? You know, I do. I do. So I just want you to be thinking here. Close your eyes. I just want to just think about biblical unity and what maybe God's saying to you. How can you bring unity, help bring unity to the church, community, family? Just start meditating on that thought and that question. As you come up with something that, yeah, I believe I can, there's something I can do. I can change. I can do more. I just want you to raise your hand as you think about that. And we're going to sit here. I'm going to wait until at least most hands are raised. Most people, just so you know, that would say, hey, yes, I can think of something I can do. This might be something you struggle with. Might be something you struggle with and you just need to learn to do better. It could also be that maybe, not in the negative, but in the positive, that God's given you a vision for something you could do. A positive thing that you could just do and start doing to bring more unity within the church. So just as you guys do it, and just raise your hand. Amen. Amen. So I do want to, just in this worship team could probably start coming up, but just as we still have our eyes closed, are there any of these things that you're thinking about, that you've thought about? Any of them things that might be bigger than you think you could do on your own? Harder? Maybe you've tried to be more loving or be forgiving before and it's failed. Or maybe the biggest vision is so big for unity that you have no idea how to accomplish it. I want to see a raise of hands for people who would say that, but because I want to have, if so, I want to have people come and pray with you. So if you just say, hey, there's something I need to do, something I want to do, and I need some people to come beside me in prayer, just to come and help lift me up in this area. Just go ahead and raise your hand and we'll have someone pray with you. Right, and so normally I'd run out and pray. But I just want anyone in here we're talking about us being leaders. Just those of you right now who maybe say, I think I'm feeling I should go pray with somebody. I just want those people to raise your hand again. And I saw three hands. If you want to raise them again a little higher, I want to have some of you guys who'd say, yeah, I'll pray with them. Get up and just look around and find a raised hand. And let's go pray with them. There's three hands over here. So if we get at least three people, just go and sit down, find out what's going on. And let's just pray with them and believe with them. And we have one more up here too in the front. Four. So we have five people at least here with hands raised. For the rest of you, I just want to just pray a general prayer over you guys. And we'll worship some more. But Lord, I just pray for your unity through the bond of peace to just spread through the church. To just spread through the church, Lord, so it could be in a sense that with unity, we can accomplish all things. Nothing is impossible with unity. Lord, I just pray that you just help us. Holy Spirit, come bring your unity within our church. And Lord, I pray that you bring that within our church, within our community, but even into our own personal lives, that you would just help us work through those things. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.